O gracious and holy Father, give us wisdom to perceive you, intelligence to understand you, diligence to seek you, patience to wait for you, eyes to see you, a heart to meditate on you, and a life to proclaim you. Through the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our sermon text today comes to us from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Let's listen with faithful hearts and ears to God's Word. Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus told them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, uphold the holiness of your name, bring in your kingdom. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who has wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation.'" He also said to them, "Imagine that one of you has a friend, and you go to that friend in the middle of the night. Imagine saying, 'Friend, loan me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' Imagine further that he answers from within the house, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up to give you anything.' I assure you, even if he wouldn't get up and help because of his friendship, he will get up and give his friend whatever he needs because of his friend's brashness. And I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, whoever seeks finds, to everyone who knocks the door is opened. Which father among you would give a snake to your child if the child asked for a fish? If a child asked for an egg, what father would give a child a scorpion? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Friends, God's word to us today. There are many things each of us is capable of doing without a lot of thought. Some call this running on autopilot. Things like tying your shoes or brushing your teeth, fastening our seatbelts, skills and habits we have learned so well we don't think about them. But running on autopilot doesn't work in all situations. Sometimes our full attention is required. For example, those in relationships can quickly tell the difference between an automatic "I love you" and one that comes from the heart. Our kids can tell the difference between an automatic "What did you do in school today?" and your authentic interest in their lives. Friends can tell the difference between an automatic "How are you?" and compassionate reaching out. The same is true with prayer. When someone asks for a prayer, what do? Send them good vibes or positive thoughts? Or do you pray in the authority of Jesus' name and trust that God responds? And as a pastor, I knew that I would find myself in some very difficult prayer situations, being present with the sick and dying, or couples in trouble. But I never knew that I would become the one designated to say grace in so many homes before dinner, or those that ask me to pray because I can do it better than they. I'm not offended in these situations, but I do often wonder why so many feel like their voice is less effective. One pastor friend of mine told me a story about a woman who came to him whose son was having surgery and was seeking prayer. His pastor was more than happy to do so and suggested to the mother that they pray together. She refused. "No, thank you," she said. "I came to you so that you would pray. After all, it's your job." What this suggests to me is that prayer is not understood, not recognized, not believed to be real or thought to be for me by many people. Let's be clear. prayer is not about having special skills, as Bo alluded to in the children's message, or saying the right words. Prayer is invitation by God. It is the heart of the passage that I read from Romans. Prayer is about freely entering a relationship of communication and communion with God. The subject of our sermon series for the next several weeks and the class I'll be leading between services. Prayer is about a relationship with God. This reminds me of a couple of lines from Rime of the Ancient Mariner by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. He said, "He prayeth well who loveth well, both man and bird and beast. He prayeth best who loveth best, all things both great and small. For the dear God who loveth us, he made and loveth all." How many times have you prayed the Lord's Prayer? On Sundays? At weddings? In funerals? The words are so familiar, our autopilot sometimes controls us. For many, in too many situations, the Lord's Prayer has become meaningless mantra. And this brings me to our sermon text today from Luke's Gospel. Now, Luke has a lot to say about prayer. Luke gives more emphasis, in fact, to Jesus' practice of prayer than do any of the other Gospels. And I think it's safe to say that with Jesus, the disciples logged many hours in prayer. Yet, here in Luke, they come to Jesus who has just finished praying, and they say, "Lord, teach us to pray as John did." Obviously, they remembered John's teaching. Maybe they saw something different in Jesus' prayer. Maybe they thought there was some secret in prayer that Jesus had not revealed yet to them. What we do know is that they had just seen Jesus praying, and they ask, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus responds with what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. But Jesus doesn't give the disciples magic words to say. Instead, Jesus teaches them about the nature of God. Notice that Jesus doesn't tell them about certain things to do, like closing your eyes or bowing your heads, fold your hands in a certain way. He doesn't have them hold hands or sit or kneel. Jesus responds to them with a lesson on who God is, His nature, His character, a Father. Jesus doesn't just tell them about the nature of God. Jesus invites them into a relationship with the Father. Jesus invites them to know their need and dependence on God, to know and experience the character of the Father. Prayer is not about humans taking the initiative, trying to reach up to God, attempting to speak into His ear. No, it's about God reaching down to us like a dad does when his child asks a question. Jesus teaches about prayer by showing that the one who prays is like a child most in need. And this is precisely what Paul speaks of in Romans. Paul doesn't speak about the misuse of prayer or hindrances to prayer. He speaks about the believer's inability to pray as they should. Paul uses we and us, and thus includes himself in the weakness. He's not talking about an inability as to how to pray. He's talking about an inability about what to pray. We don't know the will of God on our own. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our weakness coming to our aid. Last year, a survey was done of nearly 1,400 Americans. It was conducted regarding their prayer life. The survey found that Americans pray for their friends, families, sometimes even their enemies. The survey revealed that people easily ask for divine help in times of trouble, but rarely praise God's greatness. Ed Stetzer of Lifeway Research said the survey showed that most people pray when they need the red phone for help, but their prayer life isn't a habit rooted in a relationship with God. Jesus, in our passage from Luke, tells his disciples to whom they are to pray, to be persistent in prayer, and the promise of prayer. Prayer, then, is a gift. It's about God, the Father, who finds us. Prayer is only possible because of who God is, the Father, with intense love for his children. This is what Jesus was teaching his disciples that day. And so, maybe instead of calling it the Lord's Prayer, maybe it should be called the disciples' prayer. Jesus teaches that prayer is effective not because of our persuading or because we have found the right words. Prayer is effective only because of who the Father is, one who loves his own. And where we bring our need to God's love in truth, this is prayer. And this is what Jesus teaches. Prayer, then, expresses our relationship with God. It means freely entering into this relationship by Jesus' invitation, a relationship that is both communication and communion with the God of the universe. Prayer is not a meek or contrived or religious act. Merely reciting the words of the Lord's Prayer ignores the relationship. Mike Cope, a graduate of Neosho High School, writes in his book, Righteousness Inside Out, of his high school days playing football. For 4 years before every game, the team would gather and recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Then all together they would scream, let's kill him. The very prayer that Jesus used to instruct his disciples has been turned many times into the biggest vain repetition of all. On the football field, at weddings, funerals, and yes, even in church. If we only pray the Lord's Prayer by memory, even if we use the most pious and faithful of speech, we are missing out on what prayer affords. You see, to be effective prayers, we need to be effective lovers of the God of the universe. A love relationship that endures, continues, and grows. Prayer is indeed communication and communion with God. And as much as we are able to admit that prayer is something important, even something we want to do, we know there is often a chasm between us and prayer. Part of this chasm is about time. Relationships, you know, require time, our presence. Certainly, many are very busy with family and work obligations. Many claim no time to pray. What's funny, though, our busyness seldom keeps us from eating or sleeping, other life-giving priorities. Richard Foster tells us that another part of the chasm is often the need to have everything just right in order to pray. We need more information on how to pray. We need to study harder the philosophical questions about prayer. And while we can understand different kinds of prayer for different seasons in our lives, just like in the prayer class that will occur between services, this shouldn't keep us from engaging in prayer today. We know the God of Scripture is a personal God. Understanding prayer as communication with God is a natural thing. Bo talked about it, speaking heart to heart like with any close friend. Our conversations can cover many feelings and experiences. But as the earlier survey noted, prayer often focuses on classic human attitudes before God. Praise, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, or the asking for things, including the needs of others. Prayer as communication can indeed be deeply fulfilling. But if this is the only form your prayer life takes, you may begin to sense something is missing. Our conversation may, in practice, turn to monologue or talking at God. Marjorie Thompson writes, "Our prayers can start to sound more like a spiritual shopping list, launch heavenward on the wings of pious words, as if God is some kind of cosmic bellhop." Communication means two-way. Genuine dialogue requires listening as well as speaking. So how do we listen to God? One way is through Scripture, or God's creation around us, from one another, through the circumstances of our lives, even our dreams. God came to many in dreams in the Bible. Listening is the first part. Speaking is the second. Listening first, hearing God's will first, then speaking. Speaking from the heart with unreserved honesty, from the heart that God already knows. Speaking in truth, the pain, grief, fear, disappointment, questions, our hopes, our joys, anger, even hatred. Truth that comes from the Spirit, acting in our weakness when we don't know what to pray. Perhaps the real task in prayer is attuning ourselves to the conversation already going on deep, deep in our own hearts. Then we may align ourselves with the desires of God being expressed at our very core. And all this leads to I think, a more important opportunity in prayer, and that is communion with God. Prayer that is beyond words or images and actions. Just as listening and speaking are the primary expressions of prayer as conversation, contemplation is the primary expression of prayer as communion with God. Contemplative prayer is resting in God, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill and move us as God wills. It's about pure receptivity and adoration. It's an inner Sabbath where God calls us to the radical trust of resting in Him. Maybe you can understand contemplative prayer with the following example. As a father, when both Brian and Lisa were just newborns, I would often go to their crib and just stare. Standing there, looking down at them. They didn't have to do anything. It was a time of absorption in the miracle of life, the awe of God's creation, of being present only to the moment, unconscious of time. In contemplative prayer, we move from communication with God through speech to communion with God through the gaze of love. As Marjorie Thompson writes, words fall away, and the most palpable reality is being present to the one who loves us like no other. The sole purpose of contemplative prayer, communion with God, is to adore and enjoy God. Jesus invited his disciples into relationship with the Father, just as we are invited today. If your prayers have been in times of great need, maybe even angry outbursts to God, no worries. Jesus invites you today. Maybe you don't believe in prayer. You think your prayers have gone unanswered or the answers were disappointing. No worries. Jesus invites you back today. Maybe you've prayed for years, but your prayers seem stale, mechanical. God seems distant. Then allow the Holy Spirit to renew you. Jesus invites you today. And maybe your prayer life is complete joy. You know the goodness it brings, but you are wanting more of God in your life. Then hear Jesus' invitation today. See, Jesus invites you and I to know the character of the Father, the one to whom we are to pray, to be persistent in prayer and the promise of prayer. Jesus tells us today that prayer is the essential expression of the love relationship between the Father and us. Remember the words of Coleridge? The dear God who loveth us, he made and loveth all. Jesus invites you today to be in communication and communion with the God of the universe. The Father is waiting for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.